are on the money on Top Sport with Michael Abramson.
Lots of messages coming in, lots of interesting messages. Mayibuya, I thought you were my friend. You congratulated us for our 250th edition, and then you say, go Sheffield Wednesday tonight. Not impressed at all with you, sir. Only joking. We'll see how things develop in that regard. The question again for tonight, which country completes this list? Nigeria, Burundi, Botswana, Tunisia, Zambia, and one other. Who is that other country? Some of you have got it right. I'm still waiting for the correct explanation, though, and some of you are suggesting wrong answers, but we'll get to that in a moment. Let's talk rugby now in the world of elite development sport. We have, of course, our InterVarsity competition, the Varsity Cup, and a man who knows more about it than most is the former Blitzbok and Lions player, also part of the UJ Varsity Cup coaching staff, and a man I've worked with before in terms of commentary, Mac Messina. Great to have you back on the show. Good evening.
Hey, Mike, how are you, brother?
Wonderful. I miss working with you these days. I don't do much rugby commentary these days.
But yeah, we must get back again and do it, man.
That'll be great. You sound in very good spirits. Obviously, a great result for UJ on the weekend. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, man. Look, it's a very good tournament to start with if you talk about Varsity Cup. I mean, you are right. I mean, your line of saying that, you know, we're just trying to get the guys, elite young players, you know, to try and see if they can make it right up on top. You really just fought on there. But then again, there's lots that is happening there. I mean, this tournament started more than, if I'm not mistaken, 10 years back. And obviously, when it started, it was more of like an excitement thing for the students and all that stuff. And I think it has improved so much if you're looking at it. The product itself now is just so amazing because a lot of the players that have came through that tournament, some of them, they go all the way, you know, just to play for the Springbok team. I mean, the likes of Mbongi Bonani, just to give you the few, they've started, you know, playing the Varsity Cup and all that stuff. And then if you look at all the other universities as well, where they started very slowly, they really just put on so much effort into the coaching stuff, you know, their structures and all that stuff. Hence, if you're looking at the universities now at this stage, you really just do get really good coaches, you know, that are capable of coaching even the provincial team or even the national team.
You mentioned the fact that there are players who go on and go on to greatness effectively in the sport. But is the Varsity Cup then an opportunity for young players who maybe have not played the game much before to test their skills and maybe unearth some gems going forward, and players who have the opportunity to play in a competitive competition without maybe the huge stresses of playing big rugby going forward, but still a chance to, you know, plant the seeds for a career that could be successful?
Yeah, look, as I was saying that earlier on when the competition started, you could see that, you know, it was going to go bigger and bigger. Like, I'll give you an example. The players that you'll probably see playing in a Varsity Cup senior team, it's the players that have been probably in the system for 4 to 3 years, just being worked on in order for them just to be ready to play in the Varsity Cup, you know, senior team. So there's another competition as well that is called Young Guns, where it's the under-20 competition that has been played amongst the universities. So you start identifying from there, but you can even go further because some of the players, they do get recruited from all these tournaments that are taking place in all over the country, you know, the North, West, South, you know, there's Valdeclave that is coming, there's Easter Festival that really just took place last week. So all those players that are being scouted purely because, you know, they need to try, you know, just align themselves in order for them just to play for the university and of course, and make sure that they study, because part of this Varsity Cup thing, players must make sure that they study and then they pass, because once you fail, then you can't have those players in your squad. So it's a very, you know, critical point of the tournament and development of the players. And Varsity Cup, why I like it, it's not about actually playing rugby. It's about really pushing the education side as well from the player's side. And then probably one of the biggest thing, it's about us as coaches to really try our best, you know, in order for us, you know, to try and improve and moving on to the other so-called, you know, the challenges in life when we talk about rugby and all the stuff and coaching. So it's actually tough for everyone else, even the managers, even if you are a team manager, you do get tested because the team travels and the amount of traveling, it's a very hectic. And you talk about the SNC, your fitness person, they also really just need to make sure that they get the players for those two and a half months to be ready and make sure that by the time the tournament really starts, you know, the players are ready and all the stuff. And there's technical stuff as well that it's been included now. So basically, if you look at Varsity Cup, it's more of like a semi-professional tournament where the players are not really get paid big money, but they get paid to actually study, if you understand what I'm trying to say, and a little bit of a contract, plus the coaching stuff and all that stuff. So it's brilliant. I mean, imagine if all the sporting, codes will be like that. But rugby really just took a very big step by doing that, a couple of years back. And then one thing that I really enjoyed is to see the so-called universities that were not that strong in terms of rugby, but they've put on like great resources. Hence, you see them now really, doing very well in this competition and make sure that, they move the world. You know, everyone is talking about those universities now at this stage.
Mac, I'm very interested to hear what you say about the scouting systems in place at the school festivals and various other areas to try and find players to join the various universities, maybe get some sort of scholarship or some sort of supporting grant. So how widely cast are the nets? Is it a case of you hear about a player and a representative from the university goes and watches that player at school? Or is it sort of a network that goes around, or is it just watching at the big rugby festivals to see players that you can potentially identify or can strengthen the team? Just explain how the process works.
Yeah, I think it's pretty basic. We go there and literally watch the players play. One of the nicest thing about the school rugby is that your first team can actually start playing at 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock. It depends sometimes. By the time it's late in the afternoon, you would have gone to maybe in a game where Cairns is playing against St. John's, you're there, you're watching the first team play, you kind of understand the players that are there. And then the good thing about that, we even got a little bit further because we really just track these players from when they're doing Standard 9. I think it's Grade 11 in this new term.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
You're right.
Yeah, so by the time they're there, and then some of them, we watch them while they're still playing under 16 at school until they finish matric and all that stuff. So because we kind of really understand what is needed. And then some of them as well, we even talk to their schools to make sure that they pass well, because if they can't pass well, they're not going to be able just to be accepted at any university. So by the time they finish matric, we've got a little bit of some history about those players, where who is he, where does he stay, whether he's good in maths or in English and all that stuff, how can you get him to UJ and all that stuff. Apart from that, that in terms of developing the player, in terms of rugby and his knowledge of the game and all that stuff, I mean, that's probably an easy part, if I can be really honest with you. But the difficult part is to make sure that they still do well at school. By the time, they come to UJ, now they're getting into another different program. Because remember, the type of rugby that has been played out of university and the ones that you play at school, it's totally different, because it's totally different conditioning and all that stuff. And it's totally coaching, if you understand, the way the game has been played, the risk factor and the non-risk factor. And then they get brought onto that system. Now they train again. By the time the season starts, the season actually starts very early. Most of the people are not really aware that by October, November, late in December, there's still programs that are running. Guys go home because, it's Christmas and all that stuff. By the time it's January, the first week of January, everyone is back in action. Coaches are ready. They're putting on all those programs, and players have been coached. They're being prepared to be ready for the tournament that starts normally, if I'm not mistaken, the end of Feb. So you really understand that, there's no breaking and just all that stuff. On top of that, the players still need to go onto the orientation week, Mike, where it's some of them, it's the first time that are there in university. Some of them, they'll be staying at home when they were still at school. Now you got to bring them back. They got to stay at rest. They got to get used to that so-called grow up as quickly as possible, because now they're all by themselves. There's no mommy, there's no daddy. They need, so there's a lot that is actually happening until they play in the first team, until they're doing their third, fourth year, and then they go. Until some of the unions, they really identify them after they finish playing Varsity Cup, where they can go to a bigger union, like the Lions can take a few, or sometimes they can go to a smaller union, like the Falcons, like the Leopards and all that stuff, where they can further their rugby at the same time, knowing very well that they've got something, the degree or a diploma, when they finish their sport playing for Varsity Cup.
Mac, it sounds like from what you're telling me that your job is quite involved. It's not only a matter of coaching the team or preparing them for match day or sitting during training sessions and working out particular moves, but as you say, there's scouting elements, there's identification elements, there are all sorts of things involved. Are you enjoying the challenge that this particular role gives you, and how long do you see yourself continuing in it?
I've been enjoying it. You know, this is like last night, just talking to you now, we're back at it because Varsity Cup, obviously, we're not playing in the semifinals as UJ, but we're back at it tonight as a club. I'm from practice now, you can imagine. So club rugby is starting. It's going to go all the way until October or so, if I'm not mistaken. So look, it's just our life. And sometimes it's good to see these players just come in as the youngster, where you see a player who came in at UJ as a 19-year-old, now he's leaving university. He's 23 or he's 24 years old and he's got a degree and he's probably playing in one of the top teams. Some of them, a lot of them from UJ, they went in to play the Springbok Sevens, which we're very happy about that. And there's a whole lot of things that is happening. So it's a very good thing. It's fulfilling if you're really passionate about it. But if you're not, you're going to really give up very easy because we do have challenges as the coaches. Some of the kids changes. You know, you'll think that you've got the right one. 3, 4, 5 months later, everything changes because they see, you know, the lights from Joburg and all that stuff. So there's a whole lot of challenges, and there's parents that are getting involved because now they're not used to be his kid always being picked, because sometimes if you do that, they feel as if, you know, you are undermining his kid and all that stuff. While we really try just to keep it as professional as possible, it's all about the performance of the players, because we're trying just to get to the point where it's like elite, like you are saying. It's all about high performance. You know, if the player is not performing, you know he's not going to play. But then again, if you look at the history sometimes of the other schools where they really play some other players where they know that they're not good enough, and all of a sudden they come in here into this system, they see that there's other, even better players than them that can perform in a very high pressured situation, because there's so much pressure to these guys. And look, there's so much pressure to us as well as coaches.
Right.
There's so much pressure to them as well to pass and play rugby, because it's quite hectic, if you ask me.
Absolutely. Mac, it's lovely to hear your passion. I can hear it in your voice. And because I know you, because we've worked together a number of times, I can sense that you're really enjoying it. Thanks so much for this insight into Varsity Cup. We'll have you back on the show and maybe chat a little bit more as the season develops and as you share some more stories with us. But great to have you on the show. Best of luck with everything that is in the near future, and look forward to chatting to you again.
Thanks, brother. Chat to you later.
All right, super. Mac Messina talking rugby and Varsity Cup specifically on Top Sport tonight.